For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
We're grateful that Patrice is willing to be here this morning. She's got a kid getting married on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then she also has one getting married in October. So, and then she had a son
who
just got married. So she's had three weddings in 6 months. So she really knows about navigating chaos.
Well, I don't know if I navigate it well, but we have it. It seems so weird to be standing up here, so I may move down here pretty soon. All right, so navigating chaos. First thing I want to do, well, like Sherry said, we have four kids, so we are pretty chaotic, and life has not really changed. So, chaos. Let's define chaos. What do you mean by chaos? I looked it up in a dictionary. Disorder, disarray, disorganization, confusion, unexpected things, unplanned things, uncertain things, unclear things, and interruptions, right? And it was just interesting. I talked to Kim today. She had a chaos as her daughter took a comb and took it and curled it in her hair over and over again. So she's got a picture that you can see, right? So she had to call the father-in-law to help me cut this comb out so I don't have to cut all of her bangs out, right? So if we had the time, everybody here would have the best story ever. And in the moment when you get those really good stories, it's painful, it's usually frustrating, it just screws up your whole day, but hold on to that story because in about 6 months, you'll have the best story ever. And when you're with your friends hanging out, you can tell your story and you get a lot of good laughs and you mock your kids and they don't even know it. So, right? It's a great story. Good stories are painful. It's painful. It's either hurt your ego when you really blew it as a parent or something. But good, they're great stories. So, all right, a chaos. Now, I just want a couple, so we're going to talk about negotiating chaos that comes along with being a parent, but I just want to make a couple, like, disclaimers. There's nothing inherently spiritual about a chaotic home, okay? I don't know you, all of you guys, hardly at all. And so I would imagine there's this continuum between super rigid, where, God forbid, little Billy Bob misses nap by 5 minutes, we go nuts, right? That's not real healthy because you don't do a whole lot for your kid who thinks he can only eat certain things, sleep certain places, only nap. That's not good for your child either. And somebody else, I think, has taught about that. But on the other hand, a totally chaotic home isn't any good either. And a chaotic home is on a regular basis, or is your home characterized by disorder? Is your home characterized? Is your kid regularly unable to find clean clothes? Now, every kid often can't find clean clothes, right? You can't find your shoes. You don't know what you're going to fix for dinner that night. We all have those nights, but is that what characterizes your home? Is your kid so uncertain he doesn't know what they're going to have for dinner that night? That kind of chaos is damaging to a child. And again, you can read all kinds of articles on the internet on that kind of stuff too. So just because you're chaotic, just because your home's chaotic, doesn't mean you're spiritual. And so if that's where you are today, then I'd encourage you, get some things scheduled. And again, you can do your own, you can talk to people. There's all kinds of stuff out there to help you get things scheduled. But if your home is chaotic, you're doing a disservice to your child. If on a regular basis your kid has to yell to be heard, that's not good and that's not right. And so that's not what we're talking about this morning, because kids need schedules. It gives them a sense of security, helps them sense of mastery of life, all that kind of stuff. But again, that's not my topic, but I just wanted to put those things out there. So chaos comes in many sizes and shapes, right? Again, if we had the time, there would be so many, we would just laugh all morning about all the chaos, all the uncertainties, all the interruptions you've all had with children. They're classic. I had one friend who finally was going to get to go out for a night out with her girlfriends for the first time. It was her first kid. She was so excited, and she picked the baby up, and she had just taken that pink amoxicillin, and she puked all over her mom's white sweater. Now, it wasn't funny when it happened to Amy then, but boy, was it a great story afterwards. So we have all kinds of chaos. So you know the chaos that comes from having kids, combs, sticky juice, all that stuff, right? Every now and then, if I say right, say yeah, because just this morning, trying to get out, my kid lost one shoe, so they came with only one shoe on, or sometimes no shoes, right? So you know what I'm talking about. Secondly, we have the chaos that comes from just living in this world. Broken appliances, interruptions, places that you know, that phone thing where you can get solicitors from not being able to call you, and one of them slips by, and so you're trying to get dinner ready, and the phone's ringing, and the timer's going off, and the kid's screaming. So those are the interruptions that come living with this world, right? Chaos. It's chaos. Chaos from the unwise choices of ourselves and unwise choices of others. How many times has it come to be dinner time and you think, crap, I forgot to think what we're going to have for dinner. Pancakes. My favorite was pancakes and corn. When all failed, had pancakes and corn. The kids never knew it didn't match. It's what we're having for dinner. And I'm like, okay, right? Or unwise choices of others. We live in a fault. We live in a crazy world. How about this? You forget to find your kid's shoes. And the next day, it's school time. And the kid walks up and says, Mom, where's my shoes? And you're already late. Oh, crap. Right, your shoes. Where did I see the? Oh, how about these shoes, Billy? I don't like those shoes. I want these. Right? Unwise choice. Or you forgot to, if you've got older kids, you didn't talk to them about the science fair project soon enough. And now it's tomorrow. And you don't have the poster board. And it's 10 o'clock, right? Now, sure, the kid should have done some stuff, but I think, oh, I should have talked to him, and I didn't. So there's some more chaos there. And finally, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more as the morning goes on, the chaos that occurs, the interruptions, the uncertainties, the confusion that occurs because we choose to follow Christ and to love other people. That's a whole other set of chaos that we can avoid if we want to. I mean, it's avoidable if we choose not to follow Christ or love people. And we'll talk about that as comes on. So chaos. How many of you have ever thought, oh, okay, school just started. I am going to have the nicest breakfast with my kids. It's going to be so warm and fuzzy. We'll have the nicest memories of breakfast before school starts. So it starts like this. You start making breakfast. And then pretty soon you break up the fight over that toy. And then pretty soon you're going to start packing lunches. But then you have to clean up the potty accident. And then it goes to remind your kids to brush your teeth. And then you realize the kids can't hear you to remind them over their iPad or whatever they're doing. And then you yell at the kids to brush their teeth. And then you take care of the bloody knee or the elbow from the fight that happened that you missed. And then breakfast burns up, right? Now, hopefully that doesn't characterize your home. But you've all had those kind of scenarios, right? We all have. So at some degree, I hope this morning you can just laugh at yourself. Because you're thinking, well, yeah, I should have moved the first time that I told him to brush his teeth. But you know what I'm talking about. So these are pictures of some of the chaos we had growing up with our kids. Lots of kids running around. The girls, we have twin girls. And I don't know which one that was, but one of them got into all the Kleenexes and just took all the Kleenexes out. She was really quiet and well-behaved for that period. Kleenexes everywhere, right? Pizza party. I don't know what I'm doing up there in the corner. I was probably trying to avoid the mass chaos there, but chaos. I hope you all have pictures like this from your kids growing up. This kind, it was fun. It was really fun. And so chaos. We don't like it. We don't like interruptions. We don't like uncertainty. And as I think about some of the responses that come to my head, as I'm interrupted, as God brings about uncertainty, I think my responses are probably really similar to yours. I don't like interruptions. I don't like confusion because it ruins my schedule. I don't get anything done. I had plans. Now this kid has gotten sick. Now this neighbor's dropped. Whatever. I don't get anything accomplished. I don't have any control over the situation. I had a lovely day planned, and I was going to get so much done, and now look at it. It's just a mess, and I don't know how it's going to get done, right? So some of you, yeah, there's a smile like, yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's exactly what I'm thinking. How am I ever going to get those dishes done, for crying out loud, right? Produces the uncertainty. I have a teaching to do tonight. How am I ever going to get it done if this kid does this or that person comes over? Oh, Lord Jesus, right? It's just flat out inconvenient. I don't want to make 16 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I made 4. I'm happy with 4. I don't want to make 16. It's inconvenient. So we don't like chaos. We don't like interruptions. We don't like uncertainty. However you want to define it will probably reflect what you like the least, right? Mine just was, sometimes it just wasn't any fun. But you guys will all have something that as this chaos comes up, as this uncertainty arises, there is your honest response springs out of your heart and you're thinking, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, the reality is chaos is part of your life. It's part of life in general. It is just part of life. But as parents, it is a part of your life in spades. Yeah, in spades. Life is just one big interruption. It's just one big set of chaos. Kids don't do like we're supposed, like we told them to do. They don't do like we expected them to do. But as I've thought about this over almost 30 years with kids, I realized in the midst of this chaos, God is at work. He is always at work in ways that I may not like, in ways that you may not like, in ways you may not understand. But in the midst of interruptions, uncertainty, disorder, disarray, whatever you want to call it, God is at work. And as you read through Scripture, you see that He is constantly interrupting the apostles' plans and the great men of God's plans and the women of God. That's just what God does. He is God, and He has the right to interrupt us whenever He wants to. And we can always trust when He, and we'll talk about this more later, when He does interrupt us, it's always for our good and it's for our children's good. Look at Moses. Moses was happy just being a shepherd. He was just being a happy little shepherd out doing his thing. And he says, now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. Does anybody know what happened to old Moses after that? Yeah, he's got to go to Egypt. He's got to go mess around with Pharaoh. He's got to do all that plague thing. You talk about a disruption and chaos in his life. And so here's God interrupting, interjecting chaos in Moses' life. He does the same thing with David. David, the same thing. All these guys are out just doing their, out shepherding the sheep, taking care of the sheep. And along comes Samuel. And Samuel says to Jesse, who's the father of David. So Samuel's looking for the next king of Israel. He says, are these all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he's tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send him and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. So he sent and brought him. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for he is the king. And again, if you know much about the Bible, you know how David's life was a bit interrupted, a bit chaotic after that. God interrupted him. God brought uncertainty, disorder. Holy cow, right? And so, about Jesus. Now, if anybody could have plans and no one be interrupted, it should have been Jesus. But you read through Jesus, and that poor guy's always being interrupted too by the Lord. Matthew 10, that it happened as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. And you see it again in Mark. As he's setting out on the journey, a man runs up to him and interrupts him. Again in Mark, they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. In the Gospel of Mark, now again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with plans. You need to have plans. You need to have schedules. You need those things. And I'm sure Jesus had a plan for the day. But God's Spirit had something else in mind and interrupted those plans. It is interesting, in the book of Mark, one guy did a study on it, and for every one planned event of Jesus' life, there were two unplanned events, right? You'd almost think Jesus was a parent, right? For every planned event, there were two unplanned events. Because, yeah, look at those. He says, as he's reclining at the table, as he's setting out on a journey, as he was leaving Jericho, So Jesus had his plans, but God says, I have something else in store. I have something else going on. And even though we can't, it's hard to believe it sometimes, we just think it is an annoyance, it is an inconvenience, it is a pain in my butt. No, God has something else going on with all the confusion, disarray, disorganization, uncertainty, havoc in your life. God is some, and it's essential, having that perspective will change how you view that chaos, right? How many of us just get bitter sometimes? Like, what in the hell is going on? Never. I'm glad. I praise the Lord Jesus for you, right? Yeah. Right. How you start out really patient, right? The first interruption, well, praise Jesus. I'm going to trust Jesus. I'll be so spiritual. Second one, Third or fourth, and especially if it's really the one that irritates you. Somebody said, how come sticky floors? Kim, how come spilled juice produces the stickiest floor ever made known to man? You wipe it up 3, 4, and about the fifth spill, you're like, okay, you're never going to have juice again. I hope you enjoyed that last cup because you'll never see it again, right? I am glad I'm the only one. But if you choose to believe that God has something else going on, it helps a bit in the moment. Maybe not even in the moment. Maybe you have to reel yourself in. You've got to walk away. You say, Billy, honey, baby, sweetie, mommy's got to walk away here for just a minute, and I'll be back, right? He's at work. He's got some other plan going on. He is going to even use your kids' stubbornness, strong will, and your weaknesses to do a good work. You see this interruption by God in Peter and Paul in Acts. Peter and Paul are always headed someplace, and then something happens because God has got something else going on. And so while chaos is a part of our life, God is at work in the midst of the chaos. He's at work in the midst of the chaos. Okay, so you need plans and schedules. I'm not saying anything against. I scheduled when my kids were little, you'd be amazed all the things my husband and I scheduled, because if we didn't schedule them, they didn't get done. So we had schedules. We had plans. And some of them, people, I'm not too much exaggerating. There are a couple things that you had to almost be dying before I would cancel my dates with my kids and dates with my husband's. There had to be a really serious reason. I could say, you know, I could get together after 11 o'clock tonight. What do you think? So there's some things that I would be really stuck to, but there was a lot of stuff that I would be flexible with and let God override that plan. So you need to have plans and schedules, but the Lord wants to often override them. So what in the world could God be doing in the midst of this chaos, right? Other than drive you crazy, right? That's often what we think. He hates me. He must hate me. God must hate me if I just have been up 3 times with my one kid. I just put one to bed and the other one woke up. He must hate me. That's the only conclusion I could come to, right? You haven't had sleep for 6 weeks. I was going to have a nap. And then they woke up. Oh, right. Okay. Mark, we're just going to look at this briefly because this is a great passage where apostles were interrupted. There's chaos interjected in their life. And so you think, what in the world could God be doing? Because in context, Jesus had just sent out all the apostles and they'd gone on this journey and they'd been really successful spiritually and wow, they did this and that. So they were tired. So they wanted to talk to Jesus, all right? And Jesus said, okay, let's go off by ourselves. We'll go hang out and we'll chat. That's going to be so exciting. So the apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come on, let's go away by ourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. Can you imagine the expectations? Oh, man, this is going to be great. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away. Get rid of them so that we can go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Talk about dashed expectations. Talk about chaos. But God had other plans. God had other plans. I'm going to talk about this later, but can you imagine the chaos trying to feed 5,000 people? Can you imagine the people in line? Excuse me, is this the bread line or the fish line? Oh, the bread line's over here? Okay. Oh, the fish line's over here? Oh, how am I going to feed 5,000 people? I don't like fish. I never did like fish. Anyway, I'm gluten-free. So can I have a different kind of bread? I don't like that kind of bread. Can you imagine the chaos? It had been crazy. 5,000 people. And what was their expectation? We are going to get away. We're going to hang out with Jesus. And they're probably sinful like the rest of us. And he's going to be so impressed about all the things we did in his name. Oh, it's going to be great. He's like, no, God had other plans. He says, I want you to feed 5,000 people. And so in the midst of this, so what did God teach? What was God doing? He was teaching the apostles something about himself. He's teaching them lessons about themselves and lessons how he works in the world. He said, So what did he teach them? He taught them about himself. He said, I can feed 5,000. And in the next narrative, he says, I can walk on the water. I'm different. I have the authority. And up to Mark, he's had the authority over illness. He's had authority over the demoniac. He could heal. He's shown them, this is who I am. I can feed 5,000. He exposes something about themselves, right? At some point, they had a limit to how much chaos they're willing to take. It's late. Send them home. Come on. Doesn't this sound like us as a parent? Come on, I did pretty well with the initial interruption, okay? I sat around and listened to you talk, okay, Billy or Sally, I listened to you, but now we're done. Mommy's done. We're done now, okay? No more interruptions. You go take a nice nap. What do you mean you don't want to take a nap, right? Jesus shows them a little bit about themselves. There's a limit to your ability. There's a limit to your ability to deal with chaos and interruptions. But he demonstrates something that he wants to work through people to meet the needs of others. To meet the needs of others. Often when I read a narrative like this, what I stop and think about is what they would have missed if they would have said no. If they would have said, you know, Jesus, this is just a little bit too much. I deserve a break. You know, if we'd only run a little bit fast, only we could have ignored him, we could have rode a little faster, we could have missed all this together. And often I think, what would I have missed? What would they have missed? I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss to see the power of God. Like Sherry said, my daughter is getting married Saturday. As you can imagine, it's been a little exciting at my house. I'd moan so many times this week. But then I would remember this teaching and I'd stop and think, I don't want to miss God's faithfulness. I don't want to be so consumed with my set of circumstances, how I'm being inconvenienced, that I miss out on the faithfulness of God. Think about can you imagine what the apostles thought as they walked up to Jesus and he gave them more bread? And they got more bread. They had to be thinking, what in the world? Wow! Wow! What? And in heaven, we'll ask them, what did you think? What were you thinking? What were you wondering as Jesus kept handing out more bread? And you knew there were only 2 fish and 5 bread. What were you thinking? And you guys as mothers, when your kids are little and you haven't slept for days, you can either whine and complain about it. Now, sometimes you just need to take a nap. You need to find friends. Say, I have to sleep. I'm delusional. I think I have 6 kids when I only have 2. So I'm not talking about that, right? I'm talking about the time when you're right there and God's saying, okay, will you trust me? I know this is an interruption. I know this is hard. But will you trust me today for this moment? Not tomorrow, not tonight, but just today. Just this moment. Don't worry about what you're going to do when it's bedtime. Don't worry what you're going to do when you have to give that kid a bath. What do I have to do right now, Lord? And you've got to empower me right now. because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. And so what you're thinking, well, they fed 5,000. I am wiping up another high chair tray. There, come on, let's face it. And they got their name in the Bible, for crying out loud. So that'd be pretty cool. That'd be pretty easy if I'm feeding 5,000 and going back, seeing the fishes and the loaves. But all I'm doing is I am willing to let all the kids in the neighborhood come into my house for lunch, because every other mother was too, this is my thought, every other mother is too self-centered, too uptight about their house, and they're not very nice either. And I've had lunch here for the last 4 days. Okay, I'll do it again. Anybody else ever think like that? Right, right. What does he want to teach you as you open your home to do the peanut butter one more time? As you listen to your friend a little bit longer, knowing that your kid's going to go to nap a little bit later, which means he may be a little grumpy tonight, or who, right? What does he want to teach you? Whoa, I don't know. He wants to teach you something about himself. He wants to teach you that he is faithful. He wants to teach you that he is reliable. He wants to teach you that he knows. He knows your schedule. He knows what needs. He's not dumb. God is not dumb, even though we think he is sometimes, by my behavior. He knows your schedule. He knows the cost that you incurred by willing to trust him with this bit of chaos, with this little bit of uncertainty in this moment. He knows the uncertainty. He knows what needs to be done. He cares. He rewards. He wants to communicate to you lots of things. These are the things he's communicated to me over the years and continues to communicate to me. He is God. He's sovereign. He knows all. He's the beginning and the end. But he's also very personal. That's why I feel like the Lord has been teaching me month after month here recently. I'm sovereign. I am God, and you are not. But I'm very personal. I'm very, very personal. And we need both. Who cares if God's super smart if he's not personal? And who cares if he's personal if he's not super smart, if he's not sovereign? And so God says, I'm both. What does he want to teach you about yourself? This is what he's taught me about myself. I lack my lack of faith. See how many of these you can recognize in yourself. I'm too rigid and controlling. Believe it or not, those of you who know me, I can get controlling. I tie my value to my performance, what I get done. When the kids were little, how was your day? Good, because I got 4 things done today, right? I used to feel really bad. I'd say, well, I used to warn Mike as he came in. I said, we've had a lot of fun today, honey. You can't make it through the living room. I'm just warning you now. There's no clear path, but by golly, we had a lot of fun. I love my comfort. The older I get, the more I want my comfort. Don't interrupt me. I want to be comfortable. I'm an infantile. If I don't get my way, I a quiet powder. Then I pout and then I explode. I've gotten better there. Praise the Lord Jesus, is what Mike's saying. I'm a practical deist. What's that? I believe in the existence of a personal God, but I don't believe he interacts and cares for me. It's very easy in areas like this to become a functional deist. I prayed, but then when the chaos erupts, when the uncertainty happens, when the disorganization happens, depending on your temperament, some of us withdraw and pout. Some of us put our head down and we bowl right through. By golly, we're going to get it done. And that, you know, the blood and the kid, you know, those cartoons where you see the thing go through and all the stuff's flying up in the air. It's kind of what the raw, I'm getting it done thing, and your kids are, right? So in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of craziness, in the midst of uncertainty, God wants to reveal something about himself, and he wants to reveal something about ourselves. And sometimes maybe it's just to affirm. He's like, yes, yeah. Can you see God, how you'd be cheering for us? Yes, I see a glimmer of hope. I see a glimmer of faith. You're getting it. Yes, you're like a little kid learning to walk. When the 2-year-old, when the 11-year-old month falls down over, you don't say, oh, you idiot. I knew you couldn't walk before a year, you bum. Come on. No, you're like, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, did you see that half step? This is great. That's how God is with us. You kept a right framework for 10 minutes. This is really a good day. This is a good day, Glenda. You got 5 minutes of a good mood. Yes, you trusted me. Kristen, we got 10 minutes today. Watch out. That's how God is. He's not up there judging us. What do your kids miss out if you refuse to grow in your response to chaos? What are our kids missing out on? Because it's not just about us, even though deep down inside we think it is. It's not. What are your kids? Your kids are going to watch you, how you respond to chaos. Just yesterday, something came up that I had not planned, and my daughter told me my response was pathetic. And about 5 seconds later, I said, Katie, I am so sorry. My response was terrible. It was terrible that I got this piece of information. It's just not what I had planned. I apologize. That was really stupid on my part. She was really gracious. She said, yes, she should have said, yeah, Mom, you're right. But she didn't. She was really nice. She said, okay, it's all right. What are your kids going to miss out if every time chaos or uncertainty or interruption comes into your life and you clamp down and you cling tightly or you throw fits? Part of the thing your kid's going to miss out on is the realization life is never going to go as we have planned. Again, there's nothing wrong with plans and schedules and all that kind of stuff. But hardly anything. When things do go as planned, it's quite amazing, isn't it? It is. It's just amazing. Just amazing. It's weird. It's like, what happened just now? That's when you can trust God, because when things really do have to go well, they will. But you teach your kids, you're setting your kids up for failure, because they grow up in this low environment saying, oh, everything goes as planned. And then they get out away from home and kids don't treat them the way they want to be treated. The ball doesn't bounce the way they want to go. And so I'm not talking about a perfect response. I'm talking about one that's honest with your kids. And when we don't respond well, to go back to them and say, it wasn't your fault that mommy was so mean. It was my choice. I chose. I know you didn't mean to spill the milk for the 16th time. I know you didn't mean to spill the milk, right? And again, your kids have a chance as they watch you negotiate chaos, as they watch you, they begin to have an opportunity to see that they themselves can negotiate chaos, uncertainty. Again, age appropriate, and that's another teaching. But an age-appropriate uncertainty. They don't always have to have every single thing they want on their sandwich. Life will be okay, right? Sorry, we're out of bananas. What you really want to say is get over it. But you're not allowed to say that as a parent. You have to say it nicely, but it's the same thing. Just get over it, for God's sakes. You say that under your breath when your back's turned to them. So they can do more than they think. And again, age-appropriate stuff. And they begin to learn lessons about God. That, yeah, that's really disappointing. Yes, I'm real. And we are genuinely sorry that it rained today and we can't go have that fun day that we thought we were going to have. That is disappointing. Wow, it sure is. But what could we do differently today? What do you think God has in store for us today? That tricky God. He's always got something up his sleeve. How does he want to surprise us today? And so we give our kids a chance to begin to learn something about God and who he is and his faithfulness. And so it matters. It's not just us, but it matters. It matters. And again, I am not talking perfection at all. But when we do blow it, or when we do see God work, to tell our kids, to engage our kids and let them know. Well, finally, I'm thinking, what about the 5,000? What about the people who were hungry and who had raced ahead to hear Jesus teach and had stayed late enough that they were hungry and they had nothing to eat? What if the apostles would have said, I am too tired. I want to go talk. Jesus, we've waited days to talk to you and we're done. We're done. No more. We quit. Now, I suppose God would have, through Jesus, would have done something else. I don't know. But what we do know and what Scripture teaches is that God has chosen to work through people to a primary way to reveal his love and his care and concern to people that do know Jesus and people who don't know Jesus. He's chosen to work through us. So his power is very evident. So when you think about navigating chaos, It isn't just about you and your family. But again, because my husband and I have chosen to follow Christ and love people, we have actually invited more chaos into our life. And part of the things that we'll think about when we have that choice is what happens to the person if we don't embrace that chaos, if we don't depend on God to work through us. What if we don't? Again, it's not a Messiah complex. I can tell you that. Well, probably, who in the heck knows? But it's not like, oh, I'm the only one. Oh, the world's going to... I'm not saying that at all. But it's when you see your selfishness and your self-centeredness being the barrier to navigating that chaos. One of the things that helps me battle my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my self-will, my self-reliance, is to think about, here's an opportunity that God may want to work through me to love other people. And again, I don't want to miss that opportunity. So again, what if the apostles had chosen comfort over chaos? And can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine the chaos? 5,000 plus, because that was just the men. Again, I can't organize well at all. So anybody who can organize that, I can't wait to be in heaven and talk to them. Like, how in the world organizationally did that happen? Imagine the chaos that they willingly took on. Well, I don't know how willing it was, but they did it. They did it. They did it, and they saw the power of God. And so God works through people like you and me in very ordinary and routine ways. Sometimes we want it to be so glorious, right? Well, I know why I want it to be glorious, so people think I'm cool and spiritual. That's why. But most of it is just very routine. It's opening up your door to the neighbor kid when you'd rather just have your time. But when you got your time scheduled with your kid, you got to have that. But I'm talking about the other times. Would it just be easier and less chaos and less confusion to keep the kid outside and say, oh, no, we're not playing today? Not because of any good reason other than I'm self-centered. Or your friend, your kids, as they get older and they want the friend to spend the night. What we found is that nobody would ever bring their kids. We had to go get them. Like, why? I got to go get this kid to bring to my house so I can have more chaos and more disorder and uncertainty. I got to go fetch that. Are you crazy? Yes. 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 But I have so much I got to get done. Will I trust God? Here's a good way to serve people. Do I trust God? Very ordinary, very routine ways. Back in the day when my kids were little, you had to actually go get movies. You had to go get them. You just didn't have Netflix or something. And I can remember, 11 o'clock at night, we want to watch a movie. And I'm like, God, okay, let's go get a movie. But I remember one of our kids saying, you know, you and Dad are the only ones who will go get movies for us. Now, it's not because we are great parents. We did okay. But it was this contrast between the set of parents that wouldn't do it. They wouldn't get inconvenienced. They wouldn't have some chaos. They wouldn't have to figure out, okay, who's going to go? How are we going to do it? What movies can we watch? No, can't watch that one. So let's have a discussion about R-rated, blah, blah, blah. More chaos, more interruptions, more uncertainty, more confusion. Very routine and ordinary ways that God will work through you in the midst of this chaos. Very routine and very ordinary ways. And again, how can you know that when these things come up that they're for your good and the good of your kids? Because often it is really confusing. And some of the chaos in our life is horrific, and it's painful, and it's hurtful, and it's bad. I mean, some of the things we've talked about today are just funny things, but they're bad things that happen that add chaos to someone's life, a death, divorce, all those kind of things. How can we know that God's going to be trustworthy in all of that? How can we know? Because initially it looks so bad. And the only way we can know, not the only way, but the primary way we can know that God is good and is at work is because of Jesus. Because Jesus became man. He was the Son. I've been reading about him in Colossians. He was God. And all the rights and the privileges of God, and he became man. And he came to the cross to die for us. So the wrath that we deserved for our rebellion against him was poured. For every single time we tell our kid no, for every time we yell at our kid, every time we ignore our kid, pretend like we didn't hear them, all that stuff. Christ became man, died on the cross for all that we deserved. For all of our sins were all poured out on Christ. is all poured out on Christ so that we could have a right relationship with God, so that we could have the power and know the love and the desire and the energy to actually love the kids the way you want to love your kids. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I can't wait to treat my kid like crap today, right? I don't know anybody. But how many times in the middle of the day you stop and you're looking like, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just did that. I just can't believe and they overheard me say that. And so because what Christ has done, because we have this living relationship with the living God who's given us this Holy Spirit, we're actually empowered and we're given what we need so that as the chaos comes up, as the uncertainty, as the waves of life come on, we've got God himself who dwells within us to enable us to love our kids the way we want to love them. That he enables us to navigate the kind of chaos that will come into your life. The kind of chaos you're going to have as soon as you pick your kids up from the break, right? Mommy! Oh, Lord Jesus, it was so quiet, right? I want that toy. Praise God, we have a gracious Savior that saved us and enables us to parent. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If he died for us, he will give us what we need in the moment to deal with the chaos that will come into your life. And in Romans 8, he goes on, before that verse, he promises that somehow, even the worst of stuff, somehow he's going to bring good out of it. Is a bad thing bad? Absolutely. But somehow he'll bring good out of it. What's an acceptable level of chaos in a home? I don't know. Don't know. I don't know what's acceptable in your house. I know what was acceptable in our house. Ask your friends, do they think you're uptight? Are you way too lenient? You need to get up off your butt and get some stuff organized. Only your friends know that. But I know one thing. One litmus test that came clear for us over the years when our kids were little. I knew there was too much chaos if on a regular basis the important non-urgent things weren't being accomplished. If I wasn't having good time with the kids, if I wasn't having time with my husband, if I couldn't make the commitment to my community. It's not just about your kids. But if I realized if I couldn't be engaged at the level with the community I was involved with, our home group, to the degree that the Bible calls me, life was too chaotic. You cannot parent outside a community. And so those were some of the things I thought, if I'm missing that, then this life is too chaotic. I need to stop and reevaluate. What am I saying yes to things that God's never asked me to do? We're almost out of time. You can read those questions. You can look at those questions. You can discuss those questions. Do you have a relationship with God? You won't be able to parent without the love of Christ. We love because Christ first loved us. And I personally have not found anything as hard in my whole life as loving my kids in a way that brought honor to God. And without him, our lives would have been a train wreck without Jesus. Do you want to work? Do you even want God to work through you? If you're not convinced that having God work through you to love other people, then this is really kind of superfluous conversation. This is a fundamental question. Am I willing to work through the chaos so that God can work through me to love other people? Did you acknowledge that the Lord is the best scheduler ever? So I'll stop there because I'm not going to read them all. And I started to read them all. You can read. But these are some of these fundamental questions that you're going to have to wrestle through. Do you really want God to work through you and impact a lost world for Jesus Christ? Do you really believe he is the best scheduler, that he is sovereign, that God is Mr. Know-it-all? He does really know it all, and he'll help us. So, okay, I'll stop. Is there any questions or comments? Do we have time for questions and comments?
Hi, Patrice. So I just hit the milestone of my child is entered into the first grade.
Oh.
He is in school all day. It is quite the milestone. So I just remember, like, my friend Julie, she hit that milestone a couple years ago, I think it was, and she was just like, I don't know what to do with all my time.
Sure.
And I remember talking to a couple other moms, and they're like, oh, you just wait. That time is going to get filled up like you would not believe, and you're going to blink, and it's going to be time to pick up your kid, just mm-hmm. like when you had a half a day of school. Mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. like, nuh-uh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still in that process of trying to find that balance, and this week has been really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Today's
mm-hmm.
funny. because like I'm going to that parenting meeting because mm-hmm. there's been 6 years I haven't been able to go because mm-hmm. my kid won't stay back there. So I've been praying, you know, for people on my street. There are many Chinese folks on my street, mm-hmm. and they need Jesus, and I only have a year with them. And now I only have 6 months with some of them, you know, mm-hmm. so the time mm-hmm. is running mm-hmm. out. And I said, Lord, give me some time with these people. So I got my agenda for the day. Today was a busy one, mm-hmm. you know, already. And then my friend, my Chinese friend's like, you want to make dumplings today?
Yeah.
You know, this morning. And I'm like,
right.
And my brain right. is like, whoa, right. when? You right. know, and she's like, how about lunchtime? And I'm like, oh, right. you know, but I'm right. like, but then God reminded me, you prayed for that right. on Sunday.
Right.
With your home church.
Right. And here it is.
And here you are. Yep. And so it was like, you know, well, that load of laundry is sitting on the bed for 3 days.
And it's going to be four.
It's all right.
And it'll be four. It'll
we
be
got
fun.
Clean clothes in the drawers.
Exactly.
They'll yeah. be all right. As long as my husband has underwear.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what comes up. He says, okay, you have your plans, but.
Yeah, but yeah. it was like, and then yesterday, same thing happened with Bible study with another right. Chinese neighbor.
Right.
And it was like, okay, I had a choice. I could. Exactly. You know, she hadn't contacted me yet. And yeah. so I was like, all right,
yep.
I could not send the text and have my we peace have and choice. Quiet today.
Yeah.
But I sent the text. Right. And she's like, 30 minutes, I'll be there. And I'm like, oh, son of a gun.
Right.
But
right.
God showed up.
Yes.
And he yeah. was gracious to me because of my, you know, I wasn't all in it.
No.
But I was like, thank you, God. And when she walked out that door, I said, thank you, God, yes. for your mercy.
Yes.
And I would have missed
yes.
out.
Yes.
So just encouragement. Yeah. You will get there,
yeah.
mamas. But when you do, you still have
it'll
like
a challenge.
You have a choice to make because it yeah. can get filled up with a lot of stuff.
It sure can. And yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know, I think sometimes, Paula, it's easy. What I have found, it was easy when I made that choice and I saw how clearly God showed up. I felt like my faith was tested, like, okay, Lord, I navigated this chaos, but I don't see, it's not any different. It's, well, the kid got fed and they left. So it's, do you know what I mean? I think for a lot of us, it's that. I've done the ordinary thing, and it's often it's only over an extended period of time that maybe a little kid's heart was changed or something like that. It's glorious, and I think God lets us see him break into He pulls back the curtains we see into the spiritual realm sometimes. And other times he says, will you walk by faith and not by sight? Just do what I've called you to do. Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah.
I just want to give an encouragement to the moms of little kids who feel like really all I did today was change diapers and
wipe their noses and
wipe their noses and they survived the day.
Right, right, right.
I'm a foster mom and I get to work with the kids who don't have the parents who
right.
do that.
Right.
And it's a, you can tell the difference.
Yes.
It's a really
yes.
big difference.
Yes.
Between the kids who have the moms who love them enough to just be there and
yes.
change the diapers and do the daily thing. And it makes a really big difference.
Yeah. Thanks, Caitlin. Yeah. yeah. Absolutely. More than we'll ever know. You don't know it. Your kids won't know it until they're probably parents. And then they, it's a long wait, but yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, so I think that's the reason why I encourage that I'm so strong of an advocate to stay in community, because it's so easy to lose sight of what the value of what you're doing as a parent. It's so easy. We can Facebook, you can compare yourself to everybody else who's going on fancy trips and have this and that and all this. At least for me, if I hadn't been a part of community, that people reminded me that what we're doing is important. Come to these things. It had been much more difficult to keep the focus that we had. We lost it enough as it was, but being a part of community is just helps you stay on track. And you also have someone you can laugh and complain with when your kid takes a comb and rolls their hair up in it. Oh, man. Yeah, so. Well, thanks a lot for coming out, you guys. Keep coming back and bring your friends. If nothing else, you get a month. You get one and a half hour a month to actually proactively think about your kids. Because I know, like all of you, you're just worried about feeding them, getting something on them to wear so they're not running outside naked. That the, often as a parent, that's what I found, was just let's deal with the immediate. And I thought at least for one time a month, at least, I could stop and think proactively, okay, Lord, where are you affirming my parenting? Where do you want to correct me? Where do you want to challenge me? So I thought these were such an ideal venue for that. So, okay, I'll pray, and then I'd be happy if anybody has anything you want to talk about afterwards, I can stay around. Well, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank you, like Paula said, regardless of how we feel, you're not that's nice, but you want us to step out in faith and obey, rooted in a fact that you're a faithful, gracious, and merciful God. So I thank you that you do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think. I thank you in heaven someday we'll see how these little steps of faith played out into this your grand plan to redeem mankind. So thank you that we get to play any role at all. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.